The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, September 1st. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, to C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the family of islands, the number is 242-300-5720. If you decide to text me, the text, which is powered by BTC, is 422-4796. I have a guest host to me. She's joining me via Zoom. It's hard to interview via Zoom, but she's there. So I'm excited to see her there. I'm making sure that Kermit gets her in. I'm waiting for my phone to boot up.
Because good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Because all of my notes, all of my information is in my phone, and the phone is dead. So I sit here wondering, what is it that I suppose to talk about, right? And nothing. Still waiting. Okay, welcome, Siobhan. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Busy.
Today is going to be an entertaining day as I wait for the phone to finally boot up so I can tell you what today's topic about. But that looks like I'm going to phase Plan B. Plan B is the people are on strike. There's some managerial union. And I'm very pro-union, so I don't have any angst or anxiety or anger towards the union. Unions do what unions do. It is what it is. So I tend not to have any negative commentary about them, right? They negotiate with government, and whatever they negotiate is good with me. So I tend not to have conversations because I am very pro-union, and I do not tolerate anyone who's anti-union. I just shut down the conversation and say, hey, I for labor. I is for labor. If you are anti-labor, you ain't for me. Maybe because me being a student of history, I appreciate slavery. And my labor is mine. If I don't want work, I don't have to work. I can go home. But you ain't gonna force me to work and force me to under conditions where I don't think it's suitable for me. And that's why.
Do you think they're always reasonable?
And that's two different things. Unions do what their unions do. They could be unreasonable, and you negotiate when they be unreasonable. But union is good for the world. This is how we got 2 days off, how we get a 40-day week. This is how we get vacation. Governments never do these things. These are union initiatives. I am pro-union. I know what had happened in the 1920s, the 1900s, the 1800s. It was rough for workers. I know what happened for black people. It was rough for us. I am pro-union. It is what it is. Even when they're doing odd things, I will grumble, but I appreciate them for their efforts because their efforts benefit all mankind, and that's what it is. That's what it is. No one can tell me differently. It is what it is. So my topic today is I came across a commentary by a white Bahamian, right? It's nothing risque or anything. It's some commentary that we're talking. Okay, let me set up the story so you can understand. Several times, Siobhan, I've raised concern, have a debate about what is happening in Andres. When I say Andres Central and South Andres in particular, right? We have a group of religious sect in Andres, the Mennonites.
The
Mennonites are good people. So I want to start off with that. I have nothing against the Mennonites. I understand their Christian religion. I understand the need to be separated from your sinners. Because yours cause people blood pressure to raise. So I understand to separate. I understand to live a chaste and simple life. However, the Bahamas is for Bahamians and for the benefits of Bahamians and the Bahamas in general. So this was my pet peeve recently. I learned that the Mennonites is the majority seller of croaker sack bags for the crabs. And people say, "What? So what's wrong with that?" And I said, no. Crabbing, fishing, is for Bahamians. Full stop. And any subsidiary of that is for to be for the benefit of Bahamians. And now, I understand that Bahamians are sometimes can be lousy, and they don't take advantage of opportunities afforded for us. But there needs to be laws to protect us from ourselves. To protect us from ourselves. So I understand that the Mennonites now sell fish. I understand that the Mennonites are selling farming goods and produce. I understand, and eggs. I understand the Mennonites are mechanics in Andrus. I understand the Mennonites are bringing farming equipment, and you got to buy the farming equipment through them. And I have all that being problematic for the development of us. And I believe that the Bahamian government should supposed to police that. They could say, well, thank you very much, Mennonites people. I appreciate y'all. I understand that y'all take advantage of opportunities. But these opportunities are for Bahamians only. Right? That's the only way we could survive. Right? So just because the student is not studying doesn't mean that you don't provide the education and the textbooks and the computers and whatever it is. You always try to encourage them to say, you need to take advantage of the education. And the same thing it has, I think there's a concern about Andrusians. They need to raise the bar for themselves. And I think that our government has a duty of care to go down there and say, hey, I understand you're kind of lazy people, right? But certain things you cannot allow other groupings to come into the Bahamas and prosper off when these things supposed to be for you. Am I preaching too much, you think, Siobhan?
I think so, because, you know, my dad is a descendant of Mangrove Key Andrus, very hardworking family. I saw the news coverage earlier this year when I think a lot of the Mennonites or some of their visas were delayed.
And the people complain that they don't have no more mechanics in the Bahamas, so they lobbying the government to say, give them their visas. Yeah. Because we will suffer because we cannot fix our cars.
Normally when you have, you know, persons like that in other minority communities, it's the man that's driving what it is. You know, you have a lot of younger persons that leave the family islands that would do these type of labor. They live a very simple life.
You study history, Siobhan?
I do.
You know, when the Portuguese came to West Africa, it happened just like this.
Yes.
They say, supply and demand. They say, well, y'all ain't doing these things. We can give you all these things and we'll help you all. You know what happened to the Africans in West Africa after the Portuguese were there? You know the eventuality what happened? Tell me what eventually happened to the Africans.
They got displaced.
Do you mean, I don't know, displaced, what do you mean?
You mean sold into slavery?
God, Lord have mercy. I didn't see it in the Bahamas where we Bahamians, that's black, white, and Jew, Gentile Bahamians, will become the minority here in terms of we allowing other people to come and expand. Because their property continuously to expand, their footprint on Andrus continue to expand. And when expand enough that everyone leave in one sec, what I call guess in our country, expand to they get to the seams. And we said, but be lazy. We didn't do it for ourselves, and we allow these people to put us into captivity. Right?
So what do you said the government must police it. I mean, why is the community allowing it?
Okay. We can say that our children do not want to take advantage of education because you see the grades. Clearly, either something is wrong with them mentally or they don't care about education. Are you saying that the government shouldn't make sure they get their education? That's the same point. Exact same point, Siobhan. The government has a duty of care to protect us from ourselves.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't know if the government should protect us from ourselves?
I think we go flip-flopping about how much we want the government involved in our everyday life.
I say the government need to protect us, Siobhan. Who should protect us? Protect the Bahamas for Bahamians. Who should protect the Bahamas for Bahamians?
But in the case of what you started the story with the croaker sack, that's like procurement. People want to make money. Why, if it's, all of us love our crabs all year round, if this is an important part of supporting the industry, this is a link to the industry of selling crabs, why would you let the Mennonites take that over? This is
Because we are
your
simple people. We don't appreciate our history. If they appreciate what the Portuguese did to the Africans, they'll say, "Stop. I appreciate your religious people, but your colonizers can't come here and take advantage of our small industries." But that's the nature of us. This is why we have a certain ethnic group from the south is now moving in and taking advantage of opportunities because we're lazy. But the government has a duty of care to all of us. Or we will be overrun, taken advantage, and now we'll be immigrants emigrating to other countries.
So you want the government to say only Bahamians could sell Crocus Sack and Andres?
I want government to protect small cottage industries. What, how that looks, what that looks like, that's a whole different story. I just want the government to protect fishing for Bahamians only. I don't want no Dominicans on no fishing boat. You might say, but they no Bahamians want fish no more. So we need those to go fish on the boats and sell it back to us. But I said, no, the Dominicans can't fish on no Bahamian boat. Go to your country and fish.
You
The
think they have
Bahamas.
a business license to sell their crocus, huh?
Of course they have a business license. Government given the business license. Gives them a business license to sell honey, and given a business license to be mechanics, give a business license to have the food store, give a business license to sell egg. They have the business license.
Wow.
Someone is working against us in terms of having us survive to the next level that 100 years from now, the majority of us are supposed to be Bahamians and we're taking advantage. And I think 100 years from now, we might be the minorities.
Yeah, but there's so many entrepreneurs that descend from Andres. Like, why would they allow another community to come in and displace them?
You need
even
to ask your daddy.
I will ask my
Yeah,
daddy.
Ask your daddy. I sure he know the Mennonites selling the crocus sacks now for their major industry crabbing. Once upon a time, the Andres used to be called the bread basket for the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Now we buy produce from the Mennonites and sell it to Bamsi. See, I do understand you. You're peculiar. And when I complain about it, like I say, I'm not mad at Mennonites. I'm just saying something is wrong with this equation, and we need to correct it. We have a phone call there, Siobhan. I'm just passionate about it, so sorry about the badgering, because I feel like I'm badgering you, and I just want to get this out of me. Because I offer another thing I want you to talk about where you can talk more. So let me get this caller. But I want to talk about, the letter with the Conky Joe Bohemian said. Okay, let's go to the phone lines and I'll read that to you in the meantime. Go ahead, caller. Oh, I got to do it myself. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
I agree with you, Mr. Nuri. Listen, as we speak, our Bahamian people are leaving the Bahamas and most of them don't want to come back. My children, my family, my only son, he's up in New Brunswick, Canada, way up in the northeast tip of Canada, studying to be a pilot. He's been gone for 4 years. Finished single engine, finished double engine. Now he's in university studying to go for the big jet. My daughter, she's in Orlando with my two granddaughters. Her grandson, she married an American. Her son is in Abaco helping his daddy, who is from Philadelphia, in the rebuilding of the Venice Bay, the Baker's Bay project. And they don't want to come back to the Bahamas. We are leaving, and all we have is people from the south coming. They got 11 to 12 million people on there, and most of them trying to get out of there. And the next place to come is to the Bahamas, because most of them will end up in America. But the Bahamas, they ain't coming because they love us. They coming because they want to take over us. And they done start telling us there's more of us here than y'all already. And we telling our children right now what could be left for our Bahamian children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren if they could come on our South Beach, end up taking government land, building a shanty town, building homes, and we can't get them back home. What we going to do? Have a good day.
Thanks very much. Just a comment here, Siobhan. And you can respond to this. And I want to talk about that fence over PI too, in terms of same parallel, but same theme regarding the Bahamas and who this Bahamas for. It says, the text says, or the comment says, how can you blame them meaning the Mennonites, or Androsians, when our government is doing nothing to help our people move forward and grow. If it is not their own selfish advancement, them, their kids, their sweethearts, etc., they don't care. There is nothing to encourage or support the average Bahamians to grow. What I wanted you to do, because I know you involved in government and a number of initiatives, you are privy to a number of things that the government is doing. I didn't want to do it because sometimes people call and say, I pro-PLP. And I said, but I bash everybody, right? But I want you, through your expertise and risk management, what type of initiatives? Because the texter, the caller, when the post person said, the government is doing nothing, right? The Bahamians who are here should not come back home because there's no opportunity for Bahamians in general. What exactly? Can you give me examples of what the government is doing to empower Bahamians?
I would say two things. I think that Bahamians are proving that they're empowering themselves. There are many Bahamians today that have two jobs. They have their regular job and they have side hustles, some passion, be it cooking, cleaning, organizing, event planning, etc. As it relates to the government, I could strongly disagree. I served as a trade commissioner and I worked with the Small Business Development Center. And I know that, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but millions of dollars have gone into small business grants. But more importantly, a lot of the feedback from, you know, entities like TDC, BAIC has done stuff, and you have SBDC, is the training that comes along with it.
What training are you talking about, Siobhan?
I'm going to tell you. So, for instance, I developed a few of the modules for the business blueprint for SBDC. So you're learning about navigating risks as a business person, branding, pricing, managing your money, because a lot of businesses fail in the first year because they have great ideas, but they don't know how to execute and run the business. And you have Small Business Development Center, not just giving you seed money, but also helping you with basic skills for your business to be successful. And I also develop a module about how you identify a community need and transition it into a value proposition for a business. So for me, there's an exceptional team at SBDC that is, not everyone likes the experience because they think that it's just free money and it doesn't come with anything, but they want to make sure that you succeed as a business person. So that is funded by private money and the government. And I don't agree that, you know, training isn't available. You have the Nassau Training Agency. You have Upskill Bahamas, where you look at a field like influencing, AI, et cetera. You can go and be trained and do your own business. You could do remote work. You could do so much. There's so much opportunity. So many people don't meet the government halfway, you know, and this isn't about PLP or FNO. We're talking about government because government programs have always existed in our community, in our society. I think it's even elevated and advertise even more and more accessible now, but you have to meet it halfway. In the family islands, again, if I go back as an example, my family is huge. We all like crabs, right? Most of us. We shouldn't even be buying from third parties. We should be having relatives in Andros selling it to us every season, you know, selling a seafood every season. So I don't think it's that there aren't infrastructure in place that we should be taking advantage of. We're just a little spoiled. Now, if you tell me about like access to capital, and even that has improved with the Bahamas Development Bank, and like I said, all the grant opportunities, because even you have a government-backed loan. So if you're an entrepreneur and you qualify, all that money you used to have to come up with, you can actually apply to SBDC to help you through a government-backed loan.
But let me interject here and then ask you, how is it that people in Andros are buying crocus sacks from a third party? How is it that people in Andros are buying eggs from a third party? How is it that people in Andros are buying honey from a third party? How are they going to buy meat and produce and going to the mechanic, going to the lawnmower person, the boat engine? How is it that is happening in Andros?
I think that we can't blame the government for that. And, you know, for instance, some of the best corn I ever had in my life came from the Mennonites. It just was good. They just produce a good product.
A better product, a superior product.
A superior product. So, I mean, it's supply and demand, but I also feel
it's so like superior that people stop farming for corn. They say, man, let's go to the Mennonites.
I mean, I believe in supply and demand. And if you produce a good product, people are going to come. Right now, I live in the West. I know a lot of people that get their produce from the islands. They take orders. They send monies through the post office on postal money orders. The person's on the other side, the fresh goat, when I want fresh goat meat, I give the money to a friend and they put it on the boat and they bring it from the island. So I think that you cannot blame, you got a network. Like, you have to market your business even in the simplest form and find your customer base. You have, I think it's Berkshire Farms in Freeport in Grand Bahama, and Duncanson Farm, that sell the eggs to people here in Nassau. So food and produce and quality products are making its way from farm to table and in the hands of consumers.
I have some callers who want to engage you, so let me let the callers engage you. Then I'll go to the text. Go ahead, caller. Guide in rear, AM, you live.
Can I just touch on what you were talking about, the strike this morning? Can I touch on that?
Everything. Go ahead.
Okay, so the strike is happening. It supposedly happened today. I wasn't aware of that. Thanks.
There's only one union. Only one union. It's two different unions. This is not the teachers. This
so
is
I
not
think
the
it's
teachers.
The management union.
This is the principals. This is the principals. The principals said they ain't coming to work. And the administrators said they ain't coming to work.
Okay, so my thing about that is, I think they're concerned about, from my understanding, I think they're concerned about the shortage of administrators. And I, for the most part that I know about, in order to have administrators, or they pull teachers out of the classroom. Well, then pull them out, but teachers are promoted from the classroom to administration. To promote so many teachers, then that leaves a challenge with how many teachers are in the classroom. Another thing is a number of teachers are not trained in management. So to demand or to try to push for them to go into management, to come from being an educator to now telling other teachers what to do and how to, and running a school and all of that type of stuff, I kind of disagree with that. Unless they're going to be trained, they're going to go to, you know, do courses or whatever to ensure that they know what they're doing. My suggestion would be that they look outside for leadership, especially where the principal aspect is concerned, and then they can leave the vice principal, senior mistress, those persons in place from the school, because they would have knowledge about how, you know, about the daily running of a school. And then if they bring in management from outside who are knowledgeable about actually managing an institution, then it'll be a good balance, and then they'll be able to have more persons on staff. That's my suggestion, because it appears that there's just a shortage in administration, and you can't just keep looking to the classroom to pull, because the classroom is all, they're also trying to pull teachers into the classroom. Next thing about the Mennonite, I think you call them the
Mennonites.
Right, those persons. I have always been concerned about that. From the time I heard about the fact that Andrews was having an issue with vehicles being fixed and this and that because
have mercy.
Of what was going on with them, I was like, why is it that nobody tried to get them to teach or train Bahamians who are living on those islands? Why is it just staying like in a small little pocket right there? Like it's not networking. The other thing is, my suggestion would be, if you can get persons from New Providence, whether they're police officers, whether they are nurses or teachers, give them a piece of property on the farm, the island, so that they can now go back and they can start to build and begin to educate. There was a pitch competition the other night, and I was so disappointed that there were a number of persons who were doing their pitch. But when you look in the audience, it was just so limited. I felt like they should have had persons who were in business or who were a part of, like, large corporations there, so that they can take these persons under their wings. Because you could know your product, but how to scale, how to get it to the next level to make it grand could be a challenge. Even if you're given $10,000, even if you get a loan from the bank, somebody who can really work with your network and say, oh, that is something. But it didn't seem that you had sufficient persons there, like big corporations there or stuff like that, who can work and who can mentor these persons or see if they were interested. I don't know if it was said to them, but it was the turnout in terms of the audience was really poor. And it seemed to me that it indicated to me that there is no, you don't really care. Like, you're doing it, and to say, okay, we did it, and you're following through with it to an extent, but you're not seeing the like how big it can become and what it can mean for our country if you really put effort behind it and really try to make it, you know, work and make sure these persons are really growing their business to as big as they can get it. Those are just my 2 cents.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Let's go to the next caller, Siobhan. Then I want to ask you, there's a big construction, major construction happening over PI. It's been in talks for years. And now they're finally moving on to it. This person, people, I'm coming to you right now, caller, so don't hang up. These people own the easement to get onto Cabbage Beach. In fact, they own most of the property heading towards the beach, right? But the idea is we also have vendors on the beach. And the owners have exercised their authority, saying, man, we're going to push this fence there so we can do this construction. And, of course, the government said that they shouldn't talk to them before they move on to it. But and I agree with all of that. But how can we have a balance when the owner said they need the space now to make development? And the people saying, man, they ain't putting no fence there at all. What's happening? Let's go to this caller, and I want you to do some commentary on risk management on that and what can be suggested to help the vendors, help the government, help the proprietors in general. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live? Caller, you there? Caller going once, or the caller hang up? Go ahead, or the caller call back, Siobhan. Sorry about that. Patch the caller through there, Kermit. Go ahead, caller, you live?
Good morning, Derek. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I'm listening in, but I'm kind of confused because do you know the Mennonites are actually a religion?
Oh, like Baptists and Muslims. Yeah, man.
Okay, so based on my knowledge, and I'm born and raised in Andrus, and in hearing y'all speak, it's of the perception that y'all are saying that Mennonites are persons that migrated there or are settled there and doing these stuff where mechanics and so forth. We have Bahamians and Androsians who are also Mennonites in Andrus, especially North Andrus, who have farms and does construction as well as mechanics there. They're not foreigners or anything of that sort. They are born and raised Bahamians. And I know because, one, my aunt is a Mennonite as well.
Let me give you an example.
That's the religion that she chose to pick, just like Seventh-day Adventists and Baptists.
Let me give you an example. In the news recently, we all know this. There was a protest in Andrus. Big shindig, it's big, huge. Says, give the Mennonites their visas now. And the people ask, why? Because we have nobody who could fix cars on the island.
That is some of them. That's certain individuals. But what happens to the Mennonites, the Bahamians who are there, who are doing it?
I'm just saying, this is what was said on the news.
Yeah, so that's the perception of it that the Mennonites, because if an average Bahamian was listening to the show right now, they would think a Mennonite is a foreigner or someone who just migrated there, not knowing that Mennonite is a religion just like Seventh-day Adventists, just like Jehovah's Witnesses.
No, I believe everybody knows who the Mennonites are. That's
okay.
A religion.
There are Bahamian Mennonites in Andrus as well.
Let me ask you a question. Do the Bahamian Mennonites need visa?
No.
Now I'm saying, talk about the people who need visa.
When you're there speaking about them selling croco sack bags and fishing and farming and all that, like I said, I know them personally because I went to school with some of them and some are related to me as well who are Mennonites, but they are Bahamians who are doing these stuff as well.
My aunt
have a whole farm in North Andrus where they have lime, they have corn, cassava, and all the other stuff. They are Bahamians. They are Androsians, born and raised. And that's just a religion that they choose to follow.
Let me give you an example. When I'm buying lemonade from the Muslims, the Bahamian Muslim on the side of the street, I don't mean the foreign Muslims, no, because I would call them as the Bahamian Muslim guy. I don't mean the Bahamian, because I don't care what their religion, because I would say religion, I don't care if you're Baptist or Anglican, because I just say the Bahamian selling stuff. I wouldn't mean them. Anyone who talking wouldn't mean the Bahamians. They say they Bahamians who happen to practice a different religion. We talk about the Mennonites.
Okay, so Mennonites, again, like I'm saying, is also...
We ain't talking about the Bahamians.
Well.
Keep the Bahamians separate. Who are happening to practice the Mennonites. keep them
so
separate.
When you're talking about farming and selling the crocus bag,
we talking about the Conky Joe people.
So
the Conky Joe people. Let me
all
be specific.
All Conky Joe.
But I ain't talking about the black ones.
So you have to clarify it because, like I said, me and my co-worker sitting inside the vehicle, she's of the perception Mennonites are foreigners. And I have to explain to her
about
that not all are foreigners.
And I'm talking about the Conky Joe ones.
Yeah, the ones that came from Pennsylvania originally.
Okay.
We ain't talking about the Bahamians.
I understand.
I would never challenge a Bahamian.
I understand the part of it, what you're saying, but the visa part of it for those particular ones. But when you're speaking about in general, anyone listening to the show and they're hearing, oh, the crocus sack bag or the fishing and the farming, that is the same thing as the same lemonade, the Muslims who choose, the Bahamian Muslims who choose to do that religion. You have some Mennonites who are Bahamians who choose to do that religion and do their farming as well and sell crocus sack bags. So, like I said, one of my aunts over there, she has the biggest business in selling crocus sack bag over there.
She's a Bahamian.
She's a black Bahamian.
Yes. Full stop. She's a Bahamian. Full stop. She's a black
so let's
Bahamian.
Let's clarify that
I wouldn't even call her Mennonite.
Religion.
I wouldn't call her Mennonite. She's a black Bahamian. She just have a strange religion.
Okay, what she's saying is you don't have to be worried about protecting the industry because her aunt is a
when
Bahamian.
We see we giving out visas to people to sell crocus sack, that's a problem because we giving out visas to sell.
Very few.
I just tell you.
Mennonites that migrated there that are not Bahamian. So that little protest they had with the few selected ones.
Mm-hmm.
Does not clarify all of the Mennonites because, again, like I said, there are Bahamians over there who chose the Mennonite as their religion.
Like I
the
said,
word
ma'am,
Mennonite is actually a religion.
I study history. I know how this can end.
Okay.
As they continue to buy up land, I know how it can end. And if we don't protect the industry for Bahamians, like your aunt and your cousins, them who turn Mennonites, and protect the industry for them, we can lose all.
Well, I agree on that.
And that's what the conversation is about. We can lose all if we don't protect the industry for us. I don't care what religion you Bahamians practice, but we need to protect it for Bahamians. If the Rasta won't go down there, and if one says a Bahamian Rasta, I say give them all the land. But if a Jamaican Rasta come there, I can say, Jamaican Rasta, you can't have no land to farm. That's my point.
But then when the Muslims decide to go down there and they want a piece of land, then what?
If there's Bahamian Muslims,
Bahamian Muslims.
Once they Bahamian, they can take anything they want. I said the Bahamas for the Bahamas, for Bahamians. That's my point.
And I agree on that.
If they Jewish Bahamians, they can take it. But if they're the foreign set from Israel, I start complaining.
I
can
understand
start
what you're
complaining.
Saying, but I just wanted to clarify that there are Mennonites over there who are actually Bahamians and just choose that particular religion.
I ain't talking about them.
Okay, then.
I talk about them foreign set. Thank you very much, though, ma'am. I appreciate you. Let's read some of these texts and go to the next caller. It says, the Mennonites do honey, bakery, and mechanic work. That's what that text says. Blessings, brother C.A. Nuri. The biggest problem with our Bahamian people losing their country, being slowly displaced. Okay. Nuri, the biggest problem with our Bahamian people losing their country, being slowly displaced piece by piece, is that this C.A. Nuri, the majority of Bahamians don't know the deep history of the Bahamas. They don't know the deep, true history of South America and the larger world in general and how it impacts them. C.A. Nuri, if the majority of Bahamians continue not to know their historical events, historical trends, and patterns, Bahamians will remain blind, asleep, plump, juicy, sticking ducks, ready to fresh for replacement, displacement. Please, Big Brother Nuri, please begin to teach Bahamians real, deep, true history. Bahamians are gradually losing their country simply because they don't know the trends and patterns of history. And I said, I see trends. I am concerned. That's why I bring it up. Say, all problems posed have a foundation in a single thing, the inability of lazy territory to establish any standard. They will accept anything as long as it brings them a dollar, 50 billboards at one intersection, how much money we make, overrun with immigrants, how much money we make, drill for oil, how much money we make, vendors all over the public beach building structures, how much money we make. We are a rudderless country with clueless leadership. That's what our text says. This one says, in the Bahamas, we are purchasing our goods from foreign food warehouse company today. We choose to go into store purchases for our food. This one says, morning, I took a quick trip to Eleuthera the other day and quickly realized that we have been invaded. Dwight Haitians has already took over the place. I haven't been in Lutra for a while. I don't know. Morning, Mennonites in North Andres, North Central, and South. Big Yard Farmers Associations were in full force and then died. No one is selling farming supplies, so Mennonites got in the business. Let the market forces prevail. Okay. You may rant and rage as much as you want, but you cannot teach anyone who doesn't want to learn. Andres, New Providence, and the rest of the Bahamas suffers from the same thing. Blame everyone for everything except ourselves. This one says, good morning. They're also in North Eleuthera. They have vast farmland over there. Foreigners always own a lot. They just sell to other foreigners, etc. Bahamas is in a boom right now. They're coming back. That's everything. So let's. I see you call us. Let me go ask Siobhan this commentary about Paradise Island and the gate and what should happen moving forward, because I believe they can put the fence.
So I think from a risk perspective, if you put up a fence during construction, it's for protection. It's to create separation between, you know, potential fallen debris or something bad that can happen. If that is not, and then they normally put up signage to say, avoid this area. I'm not clear on why it would be a conflict between, if they're renovating a property, why are there tourists in that area anyway? Should they be in that area? So I'm not normally when construction is going on, it's on the beach, off the beach, no matter what, there's normally something erected to have a protection for persons to avoid, you know, harm. So for safety reasons. So I don't know if there's, from a wider perspective, you know, I grew up as a child, many of us going to Cabbage Beach. I don't personally like the thought of any beach in the Bahamas not being available to a Bahamian. I think that when we grant access, there should always be an easement and an access point for Bahamians to access our waters all throughout the Caribbean. You could look in the last 5 years, there's literally been protests, 10 years, of where developers came in and they wanted to eliminate access to beaches, and the people went crazy. We're probably a little bit more passive, but I don't think we should not have access to the beach. So any negotiation that the government does should be to maintain the access to the beach. As it relates to the vendors, I think it's a relationship thing. They have to work together because they are part of the offering of the tourism product. It's not just the high-end development. It's also the natives. So there should be consideration given to them. If they have to be relocated during construction, I think that should happen, because then you could end up with protests and other bad things, bad blood between, you know, the persons who work. I saw a lady was disabled. You know, we're promoting, you know, having access and mobility and opportunity for disabled persons. So I was happy to see one of the vendors being someone from that differently abled community. So I think that all of that should be taken into consideration, and that they should be properly accommodated.
Should relocation be an option?
Yes, it should.
The people say, the vendors say they don't want to be moved. They don't want any kind of fence there. I see our government give a statement saying that the proprietors should have consulted them before they erected the fence, so they could see how they could manage it both for the vendors' benefit and for the proprietors' benefit. But when they dismantle the fence, it made it seem as if there won't be any fence. And I'm thinking that at that time, should the government have made a statement that a fence may be erected, however, we'll see how to mitigate it? Should that statement have been clear that a fence definitely has to go up?
So based on the statement that you read last week, I think it was, you know, it seems as if action was taken despite a conversation. So I think that sometimes this happens and you just have to allow for correction. And if it's not corrected, then the government needs to, you know, consider being more aggressive with the developer. But I feel that, you know, I think that the vendors can make a demand, but at the end of the day, business and common sense must prevail. If there is going to be construction and there needs to be a zone area zoned off, like, I don't think it's unreasonable. I just think that their livelihood should be protected and they should be accommodated. And hopefully a conversation could happen. They can make their demands. But I think that if the ministry is involved, and certainly this minister, I think that a reasonable conclusion will be achieved.
And should that be the conclusion be sooner than later, like a month from now, or sooner than that, you think?
I would think.
What do you recommend?
I would think it's sooner than that. This is those persons go out every day to make their money. So every day that they're not access to the beaches, they're not making money. They're not someone who has a salary that's coming in. They have to earn their money every day. So if we're doing this in consideration of the vendors, then they need the decision resolved there immediately.
Let's take this call now, and then we go on the break right after this, Kermit. Let me press this button. Go ahead, call it. You're live.
Yes. You know, our greatest issue is our problems are the vendors, you know, our merchants, you see. Because what the merchants want, merchants doesn't matter who their customers are. You see? They don't care if 90% of them are immigrants. See, and they promote the immigrants in the country being here, you know. And you know we have a problem in the labor in that country. And the problem is too. Another problem we have is we have immigrants that don't speak the language. You see, that's the most of the problem. You understand me? When that happens, they got to work. Everybody on the job has to be immigrant, because you know, other than that, won't be any production. Can't be any production. You see, and if we have a problem, bro, a serious problem in this Bahamas. Hello?
I'm here. I'm going to highlight all the problems as best I can, and I can say and talk about the tough subjects as we continue to push it and have the debate.
Yeah, see, it's not like we hate immigrants. It's not about you hating immigrants. Look, the cakes and cakes is the same thing. You know, bigger ain't better, right?
Mm.
Not because. If a small country with X amount of hotels and you want more and more and more, automatically you need more people. Why you develop more than the people you have to maintain whatever you have to work in these establishments? That's a problem. That's the greed of people, you know. Greed of the owners, greed of the owners of the industry or these properties, the lords. They are the issue. Thank you.
I appreciate you calling. This text before we go says, "Good morning. In principle, you are correct with everything you're saying. A defendant of South Andrews living in New Providence, please leave the Mennonites alone. At least they are bringing something to the table. Assisting farmers with seedlings, use that what works. The persons from deep south bring absolutely nothing to the table. Androgyns don't want Andrews developed for any more thiefing developers or unscrupulous Bahamians or politicians. I get all my seedlings and farm needs from them, along with a large number of other persons and groups. We have some very lazy Bahamians. The Mennonites are very industrious and helpful, but also need to be controlled. Last, I heard that they were leasing the land. You have to blame our lazy politicians who are unable to negotiate on behalf of the Bahamas, the worst ever." That's what that text says, a long text. But we're going to take this quick commercial break, Kermit, and then we'll be right back.
In and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So what are the boy?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year!
Percy Pentagon Island game, keep you winning. Percy Pentagon, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Pentagon Island game, we got you. Percy Pentagon, from the friends you can trust, it's winning is a must. Go play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island game.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing, friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Attention Island Game players. Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Siobhan, we have a caller who wants to engage you, so let's go straight to this caller there before we go. Go ahead, caller, you're live. Caller, you there?
Your wonderful guest.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Nui, firstly, a question. I guess the government do have a right to protect our borders. You know, I'm hearing all these conversations about migration from here and there, right? But something I always say, that why can't we just realize that Nassau is confined to 21x7? And it's no different from when I do this analogy where I have a dog cage. It only can house a certain amount of dogs in it. It's just the way it is. And so we're not thinking sustainably, even as it comes to relating to the crabs in Andrews, et cetera, even in crabs in Nassau too. But, you know, crabs play a very integral role in the ecosystem. One of the basic ones I could remember is when they dig the holes, they help aerate, they help oxygen flow, and we can get into the soil, which helps get rid of toxins and allow plants to root and grow better. Another thing, another problem I have is the labyrinth that you have to go through with the SBDC, right? I'm not looking for a grant because at my age, I don't think they have anything for a grant for people at my age. But I don't need a grant. What I need is for the government to stop carrying through this red tape to just help me out after all these years of getting a business license and putting VAT into the system because of the money that I contribute by buying materials, et cetera, et cetera. Why can't I bring it? Why have to go through all this red tape just to bring a vehicle duty free? There's so much red tape. Even with the other day with the roof repairs post hurricane, the people have to go through all of these documentation because corruption, and they always think people trying to rig the government or something with at least bringing free roofing material, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much red tape. You just can't make it easier for people to bring in a vehicle duty free. You're not helping me like that. How can I help the government by me just giving me a concession? They're always talking, but they're not doing anything. They're not having any actions. And spatial awareness, juxtaposed spatial awareness in our country, right? We are confined to a limited space. We can't continue to allow NASA to just fill up. The electrical grid failure, we need to look at it like each person equals a certain amount of watts. Why can't we just use common sense and stop living and thinking like third world imbeciles? Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Last question for you, Siobhan. There was a post recently where a news agency is asking, should Bahamians who are studying abroad come home? Of course, there was a resounding no from Bahamians. I got offended. I got mad. I said, why would you even say such? That no, they should not. The best and brightest of us who went abroad, who we pay scholarship for, and they're telling these children, no, don't come home. I need you to talk to these people, man. You now talk to them. The last minute is yours.
So as a Bahamian that did leave and did return, because I didn't want to raise my son in the U.S., and I was blessed to work for a U.S.-based company, Citi. So I kind of had the best of both worlds, working in the Bahamas from there. I think that it's a personal decision. I think that it's, you know, the reality is not all of us who return home are treated well. And so I think it really is a personal decision. For me, I made the decision to come home and invest and build in my country. It's not always easy to contribute, but I made that decision and I continue to try and do it. As a mother, I want to help contribute to something that my children could inherit. And I love home. I think we are very resourceful people. We have a beautiful country. We have a lot of resources. If people actually take the time to look at our budgets, we spend a lot of money. I think that we just need to continue to fight for what we want. I have a tag, a Bahamas for Bahamians. If we make the Bahamas the best version of the Bahamas for us, then we'll be fine. But, you know, we just don't deal with the issues as transparently as we should. That will make our country better. So I wouldn't say I think exposure is great. I'd be a hypocrite because I have my kids enjoy it. But I believe that this is one of the best places in the world to live. We just need to fix the things that are broken. And I think we're at a point where, you know, we keep talking politics, but it's leadership, it's vision, it's execution. For me, it's more execution. I think both administrations, political administrations, had great plans for our country. What it comes down to is how we execute and deliver and hold people accountable to what we expect to see. And we cannot blame them. It's us.
What about the people in Andrus who look like they abandoned their island and moved to Nassau, and now we have other foreigners now taking the land and selling croco sack?
Well, I was blessed to spend some time in Eleuthera, who I think is a wonderful poster child of creating something that you feel proud to go back home to. And I think that we need to invest in developing the infrastructure in the islands, reliable infrastructure in the islands, so that people can go home. I would live in the islands because in 2026, I can do some of the work I do from anywhere. So I think that, but you want reliable infrastructure. So I think that if we develop everything, and don't look at it in terms of professions, we need everything. Just as the example with the Mennonites, we want healthy food, we want good services. We want good landscaping. We want a good mechanic. We need all of those services. So we should create an economy that would sustain it in the Family Island.
We need to have a show just on that. How do we create an economy that could sustain us, especially on the Family Islands? I see now Abaco having the battery solarizing now. Will Andrus, Cat Island, Mayaguana, will they get some of these things soon?
And this is the anniversary of Dorian today, so we send our prayers to all the survivors.
Yes. It seems like a number of schools in the Oaksville area has closed because of the industrial action that's happened today. If you have any children who are attending school in this area, check on your child. Make sure they got home safely because school is closed.
Yes.
School closed.
The predator's out.
Yes. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a wonderful day. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, Mom.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.